Ephesians chapter 4. Once again, we're going to have verses 11 through 16 for our text today. And Brother Tim has the reading for us. If you're using your Pew Bible, it's on page 1345. Brother Tim, thank you.
And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And we ask you, Lord, now that your Holy Spirit would make your word effectual, that you would speak to our hearts, open our eyes, teach us, Lord, make us fit for your service, and help us, Lord, to be bound ever more tightly in the bonds of love, the bonds of Christian love. In Christ we pray, amen. All right, so once again, we are looking at God's workers and the work they do and the objective that the Lord has in mind, what that work is for. God has communicated his will to his people by these certain human channels. If you look there in 11, starting with apostles, okay, they're the eyewitnesses of Christ himself, and they recorded right here everything that we need to know about the facts and the truth of Christ. And at this end of the chain of custody of the word, Christ has given his church pastors and teachers to instruct the flock in the word of his grace, which Paul says is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are being sanctified. Okay, why should we pay close attention to the word of God? Because it's able to build us up and to give us an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Wonderful. So verse 12 says that, says as much, that pastors and teachers are for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, right? Serve one another in love, for the edifying or the building up of the body. And if you look also in 16, it says the same, taking it beyond even the pastors and teachers to the level of every single member of the body. You see where it says the whole body joined and knit together as each part, right? Each part in the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, each part does a share. And so the whole body is caused to grow. See what it says, building up itself, right? Edifying itself in love. Well, today 14 is going to be our focus. And here is what is the word trying to accomplish here. It says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves. Okay, the word there has a storminess to it. There is that part of the word has to do with the tempest of on the sea, right? Tossed by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and look, by the cunning and the craftiness of men in their deceitful plotting. Okay, well, as we said last week, children are extremely susceptible of being convinced of anything you want to tell them, right? That is why the enemy, by the way, wants to get a hold of children as young as possible, because children are a blank slate, okay? Whoever has their attention, whether that's the television program or a school curriculum or their friends or the games or whatever there might be, right? Children believe whatever they're told because, well, for one thing, they haven't even started to suspect that there's a reason to be suspicious, right? They haven't even, they're not even suspicious of the fact that somebody might be pouring lies into their ears. And secondly, they have no way of testing whether what they're being told is true. Okay, my teacher is wonderful, she's friendly, she's nice, she seems to like me. This television show is funny, it's entertaining, it's stimulating. You know, why would I think that it's trying to deceive me? Why would I think that somebody is trying to pass off a lie to me, a damaging lie? And I think it's easy enough to see that that's true when it comes to children, right? Because children will even believe in the tooth fairy, leprechauns, Santa, okay? It's easy to, right? Maybe some children believe and some children don't. But when cartoons and the science teacher agree, and they both are telling me that I'm descended from a primitive ape and that the world is billions of years old, well, I mean, everybody says this. Why would I doubt it? Why would I think it's not true, right? They don't even ask. It doesn't even occur to them that they should ask whether this thing is true. It's coming at me, and I'm just going to accept. And yeah, why not? Why not? Why wouldn't I believe it? Well, it might come as a shock, but the fact is that that same gullibility does not depart when you exit childhood. Okay? I mean, I'm sure you don't believe in the Easter Bunny anymore, but people are still far too trusting, aren't they? Okay? People still will believe, even as adults, almost anything, provided that it comes from someone who is able to put a good face on it. Okay? Why do you think that advertising is such big business? It's because it works, right? It works on people. People see the advertisement, they say, I want that, I'm going to buy that, I'm going to vote for that person, right? Because the advertisement made it seem that this is something desirable. People see the thing, they say, I want to have whatever this person is telling me. Right now they're telling us, trust the science, right? Even as they secretly manipulate the numbers. Even as they fudge their results, they show you this graph, they hide that graph from you. They publish this report, they want that report suppressed, okay? They put pressure on people to go in front of the cameras and say certain things. They pay off technicians to sign these reports, right? And then they tell you, yes, to believe the science, right? Believe what we're feeding you, believe what we're, and then people say, yes, I do believe it, okay? Trust the news, and people do. Okay, we only have 10 years left. Well, maybe now it's only 8 years left to save the planet. This man is a woman. Solar power is good for the environment. A new casino will be good for the state. A new liquor store will be good for the city's economy. The election is totally transparent and fair, right? Trust us. Trust, and people say, I do trust you. I heard it from a journalist. I heard it on television. I believe them. Right? I believe what I hear. Someone says, right, the House passed a resolution 200 to 195 saying it was true, so therefore I believe it was true. Okay, or some nice, attractive person with nice manners comes to the door and they hand you some religious literature, and the person says, oh, is this true? And they read it and they accept it, and the Daystar Channel and the TBN, they have nice, attractive pastors on fancy stages, and they're telling you stories about healing and about fortunes. And people say, oh, he couldn't possibly be a fraud. He's so nice. He's so well-spoken. He's such a good storyteller, right? He's so well-dressed. I can't count the number of times I've heard a story like this. Well, I was born a, just name one, I was born a Methodist, but then I was a Baptist, and then I was a Presbyterian, and then I met this Catholic girl, and now I'm Catholic. Right? I've heard that some combination like that dozens and dozens of times. And you say, wait, what? Why? Did something convince you? No, I just wanted to get married, so I switched. So do you know what Catholic people believe? I don't know. It's something about Mary, So you haven't been convinced, you've just gone along, and this adult will tell you they're no longer a child, they're not gullible, okay? This adult will tell you that. And I wonder how any of the people that we've just mentioned are really any different from children, right? You believe this one day, you believe that the next day. One day you have a certain opinion, the next day you have the opposite opinion, okay? You're susceptible, you're persuadable. Right? And they say, I'm grown up now. I don't believe in fairy tales anymore. But you believe things that are a lot worse than fairy tales. Right? You believe 100 different lies that you heard on television, you read an article, a religious person said something to you. Okay? And you absorb it without a filter, without questioning, without skepticism. And that shifts and sways your decisions. Right? It affects how you spend your money. It affects how you vote. It affects your family relationships. It affects your spiritual life. Right? It affects your eternity, your destiny. Right? And adults don't appreciate ever being called gullible, but the truth is they're just as gullible as children. It's just about different matters. Okay? And the reasons are the same, because A, they simply don't suspect that they're being fed a lie. Why would this person lie to me? Right? They don't realize that they have to be on their toes about things. And secondly, they don't have a standard by which to decide whether to trust this person or that person. Okay? Often what you hear, the standard is just, well, this person has a doctor in front of their name, or this person has reverend in front of their name, or some other credential, or the person is sitting behind the news desk, and oh, I believe him. Okay, now, I don't want to single out you guys, right? Of course, you are addressed here. We all, right? It says, so that we would no longer be children, right? But this is just the naturally born state of all men and women. The Bible says that it was in her simplicity, in her innocence, that Eve was deceived by the devil. So this is what it comes down to. The devil is the master liar. He's the master deceiver. Right? The scripture says he leads the whole world astray. Well, I'm part of the whole world. I think if you check, you'll see that you're part of the whole world. Right? I was just reading 1 Corinthians, and Paul says something in, I think it's chapter 14, maybe 12, I forget. You Gentiles who once were pagans, you were led astray to these mute idols. And he says, however you were led. Right. Somehow you ended up being idol worshipers, right? You were led there somehow, right? You know now that idols are nothing at all. There's no living being there, but somehow you were led to worship them. There you were, right? And they're grown-ups, but they're like children in that they're persuaded to accept, well, really just about anything. And it doesn't even take persuasion. You just sort of feed it to them, and they say, yes, I accept this. So, you know, you go to shrines. You worshiped a statue carved out of a rock. It's not a god. It's not a living being. Or people look at the world and all of its beauty and its creativity, and they say, this all just happened by accident. It all just happened by chance. Well, how do you know that? Because my teachers told me so. Right? You believe what they say? Yeah, sure. Why wouldn't I? So Christians, a major part of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ in our lives is to restore to us proper human faculties, faculties that are worthy of the description in the likeness of God. Proper wisdom, proper knowledge, proper discernment, right? Something that is in the likeness of God. When I say Christ's redemptive work, what I mean is that Christ recovers the aspects of us that were damaged or were lost or distorted. So, of course, your soul was doomed to damnation. Christ has saved it, right? He's redeemed it. Your spirit was polluted. It was filthy, and he has cleansed it. But is that all? Okay, Christ redeems more than that. He redeems our body, right? His redemptive work includes saving what, right? It's perishable. It's going to be raised imperishable. your physical body decays, doesn't it? It's mortal. And it says this mortal must put on immortality, right? He's going to redeem our bodies also, not just our souls. Well, what about our minds? Isn't Christ redeeming that as well? Okay, what about our discernment? What about our reasoning? What about our knowledge of God? All of that also is damaged from the fall. It's broken, right? It's corrupted. The unredeemed live their lives in intellectual darkness, in spiritual darkness, like children, okay? People don't know God. They don't know what to believe about God. They don't know how to filter out lies from truth. So they have to guess. They have to follow somebody, right? They have to accept whatever they're told, and so they change their minds from day to day. They listen to different ideas, and they just accept everything. And what they accept today, they're going to change their mind about and discard it tomorrow. Okay, these are the characteristics of children. Children go with the flow, right? They believe whatever you tell them. But you see here, Christ has saved us and sent his truth into our lives so that we would stop being children. Okay? The trouble with children is that gullible people become victims. And that's what you have here in the rest of 14. Okay? Gullible people become victims of the trickery of men and their cunning, their craftiness. Right? Paul's very straight here. He's not mincing any words, and we shouldn't mince words either. That our society, all around us, are cunning, crafty, tricky men deceitfully plotting against the Lord and against the truth. Okay, the longer I live, the more I understand, the more I see this, that this is true. And, you know, we prayed for America. It's really sad to think that this is happening in America, that this really describes America. But the longer, the sooner you come to terms with the fact that that's true, I think the wiser you'll be. That all around us, permeating our society, cunning, craftiness, deceit, okay? Lies have to be dressed up as facts in order to get people to accept them, okay? It takes cunning, it takes craftiness to do that. Power grab has to be dressed up as being for the people's own good. Right? We're living in the middle of a power grab, but it's for your own good. It's for the good of America. Okay, trust us. And so people comply because cunning, crafty, deceitful men are good at what they do. Right? They're like their father, the serpent, the master liar. And what does he do? He manifests himself as an angel of light. Right? So no surprise if his servants also, the people who do his will, no surprise if they also present themselves as workers of good. This is good for you. This will be good for society. And this is why you get all these positive sounding words slapped on top of things that you would never accept if you knew what you were really getting. Okay, for example, everything that is intrusive, oppressive, and destructive about the political left, they label it with the word what? Progress. It's progressive, right? Progress is a good thing, isn't it? You wouldn't want to go back. You would want to advance. You want to progress so that people believe this is progress. It must be good. Don't you want to make progress? So I'll go along. And around the time of our country's founding, a couple of hundred years ago, what was that called? The Enlightenment. Okay, oh, we're enlightened now, are we? Is that why we've decided to discard the Bible as a bunch of basically morality tales, and we're going to set that aside in place of now human reason is going to be our king, right? Is that why today we've all this is really is just a bunch of good stories, a bunch of moral tales and so on? It's not God's infallible revelation of his being, his will, his acts. We're enlightened now, okay? We don't need to believe in miracles anymore. We don't need an incarnation. We don't need a resurrection. We don't need judgment day. We don't need, we don't need the miraculous. We're going to take the rudder into our own human hands, and we're going to set sail for progress, okay? The angel of light knows how to deceive and manipulate grown-up children. It's easy. You just slap a few positive-sounding words on top of it, and people buy it. I'll give you an example. The Affordable Care Act. Oh, it's affordable? Well, sign me up. Okay, care? I'm going to get care? And it's affordable? Sure, it says so right here on this paper. Must be true. Okay, what's in a name? What's in a name? Often nothing more than a big fat lie. It's crafted. Do you see somebody chose these words so that the public would receive this thing that if they knew what it really was, they would never accept it? Okay? Carefully chosen words. It's craftiness. The Association of Welcoming and Affirming Baptists. Well, they're welcoming, are they? They're affirming. Okay, it's a charming phrase for a rebellious and insidious doctrine. Churches that reject the word of God and are leading people to condemnation. Like I said, gullible people become victims. They're lured in by the nice words, by the nice disguises, right? Carefully dispensed information, which they're told this is totally on the level. Would this face lie to you, right? Would Big Brother lie to you? He's your big brother. Okay, it shouldn't be news to you that there are bad actors in every place of influence and power. Marketing, advertising, political strategizing, public relations firms, big business, right? Fact checkers. All of that has to do with putting a spin, right? All of that has to do with controlling people's impressions of things. I want to get this message across. I want to suppress this message, okay? It's crafty. It's cunning. It's plotting. It's deceit. How are we going to spin this? How are we going to present this to the public, okay? Listen, Christians, maturing believers simply cannot allow themselves to be taken in by crafty, conniving tactics like this, right? And this is what Christ is trying to do to us by ministering his word to us and delivering his truth to us through the channels that he's ordained, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, okay? You have to be born again, but once you're born again, what do you start with? Okay, Peter says, earnestly desire the sincere milk of the word, the pure milk of the word, right? Drink that baby bottle. Drink that bottle. Drink the word. So he says, so that what? So that you can grow thereby. I want to call your attention to something in 1 John, where John, is 1 John 2, John says, little children, I write to you because your sins are forgiven and now you know the Father. And young men, I write to you because you're overcoming the evil one. You're becoming strong and the word of God dwells in you. And fathers, I write to you because you know him who is from the beginning. You hear that progression? Little children, young men, fathers, okay? The believers are growing. Christians are supposed to be growing. Why? So that we won't be so gullible anymore. Okay, to me, it's all right to admit the truth, which is we haven't always known the truth. Okay, we used to believe this, we used to believe that. Once we were ignorant too, okay? The waves push us over here, the waves push us over there, and we bought whatever our teachers taught us. You trust information that comes to you through the trusted channels. Like if it's on PBS, of course you're going to believe it, right? PBS always tells the truth, right? The health department always tells the truth. The courts, Hollywood, right? TV commercials, even Christian showmanship, okay? Because the liar put a good spin on it. He put a good face on it. He made it palatable, or he made it entertaining in some way, or stimulating in some way, or reassuring in some way. And all the while, we're being taken for a ride. Well, as a parent, I know it's easy to take a child for a ride. Okay, you just give them something entertaining, something distracting, something soothing, something to put in their belly, and they'll go right along for the ride. Okay, we have to, Christians, we have to wise up and start realizing the way things are. Scripture says the time is short. On Wednesday night, we just read, woe to those who live on the earth because the serpent has come down to you having great wrath because he knows his time is short. Okay, so what does Jesus say in Matthew? It says to deceive, if possible, even the elect. okay, to deceive, if possible, even the elect. The time is short, and I think many of us don't even yet know all the things that we need to know, okay? But gullible people become victims. That's dangerous, right? Are you a Christian? Well, does being a Christian automatically make you immune to deception? It doesn't. Okay, the Word of God is what causes you to grow and to be able to leave gullibility behind and just quit believing everything that all the nice people say to you. The Word of God is how you get discernment. It's how the Holy Spirit gives that renewed, redeemed discernment, how he gives the mind of Christ to those who want to learn. Okay, that's what Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. Your word is a light to my path. Right? Without your word, I've got nothing to light my path. I'm going to go off the path. I'm going to go astray. You're going to go astray because of the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Okay, there's false religions out there. There's serious errors even in the believing church. There's this worldview now of globalism, which is practically becoming a religion in itself. Right? It's the cult of government. Right? Government, our benefactor. Government, our provider. Government, the merciful and compassionate. Okay, it's becoming a cult. Saints, from here to the end, it's going to be spiritual warfare. We can't afford to be children. We can't afford to be so persuadable, so gullible, and so malleable. Okay, you have to know what you believe and why you believe it, because there's conflict ahead and you have to train. Okay, little children, young men, fathers, right? I write to you because you are overcoming the evil one, right? I write to you because the word of God dwells in you. I write to you because you know him who is from the beginning. We just can't go for the, you can't let people take you for a ride anymore. It's time to wake up for the battle, dress for what's ahead. So that's why later in this letter, he says you're going to put on the belt of what? Truth. You got to know the truth. You're going to put on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. And the boots of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. And what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The word of God. Okay, you need discernment now more than you ever have needed it. Children don't have discernment. When the government says they're going to do something for you for your own good, you had better be very skeptical. Okay, the government does not love you, right? The government doesn't love people. It loves itself. It loves control. The government it's a beast. It loves money. Almost everything the government does is to feed the beast. Right? More funds for this, more funds for that. Yeah, guess what? Guess who gets the funds? They get them. Right? It's cunning. It's craftiness. It's the trickery of deceitful men. Okay? The welfare system doesn't love people. Welfare isn't compassion. It's power. Government-assisted health care isn't care. It's power. Right? Government assistance isn't philanthropy. It's power. You know the saying that he who pays the piper calls the tune? Right? If the government is paying your bills, the government is calling the shots. Okay? People are so gullible, they say, you know what? Wouldn't it be great if somebody else were to pay all my bills? But you just surrendered control of your life, didn't you? Okay? You know what happened? You've acquired a master. A man cannot serve two masters, right? You either love one and hate the other, or you're loyal to the one and you despise the other, okay? We know the evil day is coming. Few people see how it's being prepared for by more and more attractive but false promises from the government to make all our lives better, okay, by throwing you a little crumb here, a little bit there, as long as we all keep feeding the beast. Right? And bit by bit, people give ground, people accept the intrusions into their lives, they accept the control, until lo and behold, one day, they find out their loyalty is to the beast, because the beast is where the benefits are. Okay? The beast will keep them safe. The beast will provide for them all. All these lovely, comforting, positive words, the benefits, the safety, the provision. Okay? You can't afford anymore to be loyal to the Messiah because it would cost you your benefits. Okay? Do you see how it happens gradually? It happens soothingly, like children. They're lulled off to sleep with a hot meal, a blanket, and a promise of protection. Okay? The redemption of Jesus Christ involves more than the saving of your soul. It involves the renewing of your mind, discernment, clear vision, right? Being able to see through lies and to love the truth. Okay? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, ministering the word of God. Paul says this, Paul the apostle, okay, tells you about the ministry of the word of God. This is from 1 Corinthians 2. He says this, we, talking about apostles, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. He says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which the rulers of this age didn't know, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord. Okay, he says, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed those things to us, okay, to the ministers of the word. God has revealed those things to us through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Okay, he says, we, Paul talking about apostles and teachers of the word, we have received not the world's spirit, not the world's wisdom, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we can know the things that God freely gives to us. And so we speak those things, not with words of man's wisdom, but words that the Holy Spirit teaches, okay, which the natural man can't receive. He cannot know them, they're foolishness to him, because they can only be spiritually discerned. But the man who has the Holy Spirit is able to judge all things, right? He has discernment, he has clarity, he has perception, he's able to see through the lies. The man who has the Holy Spirit is able to judge all things, and himself is judged by nobody, because we have the mind of Christ, right? We're no longer children. This is where the ministry of the word is aiming to get the whole body to come to this, to leave behind this gullibility and susceptibility, and to be able to have the mind of Christ. Okay, so he goes on saying, brothers, although up till now I have fed you with milk and not solid food, because up till now you haven't been able to receive it, right? He says, it's now it's time to go on to maturity. The time is short. So he tells them, put aside your quibbles amongst yourselves. Devote yourselves now to building up the body. Right? Devote yourselves to the service of the saints. Devote yourselves to the word of God's grace, because it's able to build you up. It's able to give you an inheritance among the holy ones. Okay? Without the Holy Spirit, you are never going to have proper discernment. You're going to remain a gullible child forever. You believe this one day, you believe that the next day. You're going to be tossed around in the chaos of the storm. You're going to be on the verge of sinking any minute. Okay, we need the Holy Spirit to cause us to be stable and to grow. Well, if we need him, let's ask. Okay, ask. It shall be given. Christ in you. Christ is able to keep you from falling. Christ is able to cause you to stand in the evil day. All right, well, let's pray. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit's wisdom, for his blessing, for his renewal of our minds, so that we will have the mind of Christ and will no longer be children. Abba, Father, we look to you now as Father, because we are little children. We look to you to give us your wisdom, to grant us, Lord, your Holy Spirit to teach us. Thank you for your mighty word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that we have that we can rely on. We can lean on you, Father. We know, Lord, as creator and redeemer and judge, that everything that you say is trustworthy and true. Scripture says that it's impossible for you to lie. So help us, Lord, to cast all our cares on you, to see the world through your eyes, Lord, through new eyes, not the eyes that we were born with, not with the hearts that we were born with, Lord, but with a new heart, a heart that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, has been saved by him, touched by him, cleansed by him, Help us, Lord, to commit ourselves to your word, to your body, the church, to grow together in love until we all come to that fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.